Hello, everyone. Hello po. Welcome po sa inyong lahat. Welcome to our Soul Devo for today. It's a Wednesday, of course. So every Wednesday po tayo at 7 a.m. And I'd like to welcome everyone. Siyempre, first of all, for those of you who are in the Philippines, as Pilipinas po kayo, welcome. Thank you for joining me today. And ganun din po yung mga nasa abroad, of course, yung ating mga, ika nga tagapakinig, you know, mula sa US, you know, sila Tita Mila, Tito Oscar, siyempre sa Poland, you know, sila Maki, you know, and others, you know, mga nasa Singapore and everywhere else, okay, kung saan man kayo naroon. Thank you for joining us today. Well, continue to pray for me and for my family. We're still in the midst of looking for a place to stay. And so far, we have not found a place. Wala pa po kaming makitang lugar. But keep praying. Join us in prayer. I know the Lord has prepared a place for us. And we will be able to find that place. No? So we're looking for a 3-bedroom house sana, you know, with... at least sana 2 bathrooms, you know, hopefully, in at least a garage or maybe a 2-car garage, if that would be possible, because, you know, by God's grace, the Lord has blessed us, you know, with 2 vehicles and we're just looking for that, you know, and of course, a place for my books as well. Medyo yun ang isa sa mga, you know, struggle or problems that we have right now. Because I have a lot of books and we need space for that. So anyway, do pray for us. We're still looking. We're still trying to find a place, mostly sana or preferably here in San Pedro, Laguna, within the area. Maybe Muntinlupa, you know, but that is our heart's desire. And hopefully also the place that we will get we'll have converged, you know, internet, because that is our internet. We just want to transfer our internet to wherever we are going to stay. So do pray for us, and especially, you know, yung aming sanity, because it's really hard. It's quite stressful, and pray for my wife, pray for myself, that we would just be, you know, calm and cool and just trusting God all throughout. So anyway, that's just an update of where we are right now as far as my family is concerned. And also, you know, shifting gears ngayon, I just want to thank God for a supporter, no, who helped us with our StreamYard. Itong, what you're watching right now is called StreamYard. It's a tool that we use for all our broadcasts, including our Sunday services, so that people everywhere, you know, even those abroad, can watch or can attend our RLCC events. So, thank God, the Lord touched a couple and they helped us with regard to the yearly subscription of this tool, which is quite expensive, you know. It's about, I think, $458 per year. So thanks be to God. And you know who you are. I won't mention the name, but I just want to give thanks and glory to God for the help that we received, you know, through this couple. So may the Lord just bless you and prosper you. Also, siempre, we still have other tools that are in need of your support. First of all, I would like to just... ask for prayers. We have different kinds of tools that we're using in order for us to reach more people for Christ. And one of them is yung tinatawag na what we call online.rlcc.ph, if you have visited that. We're still, you know, we're just using the version that allows us to, you know, to have a limited kind of what they call this, parang features, but we would like to be able to use that in a more productive way or effective way, but it needs a subscription of $10 a month. So if that would be something that you would like to do to help us, please let us know. We're trying to reach beyond the walls of RLCC. And we believe that the internet is one of those ways that we can do that. Noong araw before, a lot of churches used radio and TV and so forth, which are very expensive. But nowadays, we can use the internet to go beyond the four walls of the church. And that's what we're trying to do right now. And so we are in need of your support for different kinds of online tools that we're using right now. And thanks be to God, we have a supporter helping us with our Get Real app. Just in case you haven't heard of that, we have a phone app called Get Real, and we're using that, to reach more people. A lot of people are being blessed by that tool, and someone, is supporting that as well. So thanks be to God. So all these things that ginagawa natin, we're just able to do it by God's grace. There's another area that I'm so thankful to God. Now we're moving or we are able to get help for this project, yung TV monitor. We are or we want to purchase a TV monitor for the worship hall because there's one side that is blindsided. And thanks be to God, we're just short of about 3,000 or 4,000 pesos to be able to buy that TV monitor. It's a 55-inch TV monitor, and thanks be to God that we already have majority of the funds needed for that has already been contributed, and we are still in need of about 3 or 4,000 more to be able to actually pay for that monitor. So anyway, I'm just sharing these things for you for prayer, of course. And if the Lord touches you, you can also help. Just reach out to me. And we're doing these things for the kingdom of God and for the Great Commission. Anyway, so thanks be to God, and thank you for just continually praying. I mean, that's the most important thing, no? In this ministry is your prayer. I also would like to nga pala give thanks to God for volunteers, who have joined the online support team, and they are now in place. And we have now people who are willing to reach out to those of you who are attending, especially our online events. So meron na po tayong we have volunteers na po who would reach out, welcome you, say hello, pray for you, and all of that. So I just want to thank God for each of you, those of you who have volunteered to online support ministry, because this is one ministry now, wherever you are, you can participate in. Okay. And thank you so much for those who join us. So today we are going to talk about something I believe, most of us probably have had some kind of experience, dito sa bagay na ito. There are many injustices sa mundong ito. There are many things that are wrong. But one thing that is quite difficult and personal for us is when we suffer as a Christian, that is, when we are persecuted or accused or whatever, or even though we're not guilty of that. So suffering as a Christian is a difficult thing to process. And we want to talk about that, and we want to read our passage today. Luke 22 verses 47 to 53. And this is the time when Jesus our Lord was arrested. And we want to look at that passage and see how our Lord responded to that unjust arrest. Okay? So let's read our passage and then we'll pray and ask God to bless our time in the Word today. Okay, starting with verse 47, here's what it says. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? No. And one of them, according to the Gospel of John, this is Peter, no? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple, the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? No. Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Ayan po, that's the word of the Lord for this morning, and we are going to meditate on that. Thanks be to God. So let us, just pray right now. Join me wherever you are. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, and let's draw near to the Lord, our Father, and ask Him for His help. Let's all pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, for allowing us, O God, to just continue to be in your presence each day and each moment. And thank you for giving us stability, giving us hope. Once again, Lord, we draw near to you today, this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, depending on the time zone. Lord God, we draw near to you and we pray and we ask, O God, may you speak to us, O Lord. May you give us the grace to understand more of your word for us and how it applies in our lives. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. And we just commit to you and surrender to you this time, this moment. And may you transform it as a place of grace, in a time of grace for all of us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, thanks be to God. You know, the question that we really want to ask this morning in relation to suffering as a Christian is, how do we respond? Okay? Sometimes, when we are suffering as a Christian, we don't respond as a Christian, di ba? We actually become just like, worldly people. Of course, it is an emotional experience. That's why, siguro, some of us, we don't really know how to respond well. And when the time comes and we are suffering, not in a just a general sense, but specifically because we are followers of Christ. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about injustice in general. That's an ethical issue, and that can be quite complicated, diba? Kasi siyempre, di ba, we are called by God to honor the Lord in this life, and we are to, of course, stand against injustice of various kinds. Pero we're talking about something specific sa buhay natin as followers of the Lord, and sometimes as a Christian, we suffer, simply because we're Christians. We are accused, we are blamed or something, or people just simply laugh at us or look down on us kasi we are followers of the Lord. And this can feel so unjust, and sometimes we are tempted, to respond in the wrong way. So we want to look at what happened here in this story, and we want to, try to see three guidelines dito. I could see three guidelines here that we can begin to follow by the grace of God, of course. The Lord helping us, and He will help us if we ask for His help. So, what are the three guidelines that we can, use or remember when we are suffering as a Christian? The very first thing that I believe we should, remember is that we should respond with grace, okay? Not sarcasm. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's look at verses 47 to 48, okay? It says in verse 47, sabi niya, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, In other words, a mob, a group, na biglang dumating doon. They were really planning this for quite some time. They wanted to arrest Jesus, but they could not because of the people, who loved Jesus. So this happened, very late at night, and Jesus actually was waiting for them. He prayed, if you remember, the Garden of Gethsemane. So instead of really coming home and resting with his disciples, he stayed there because he knew that was the time that the will of his Father would be fulfilled, that he would be arrested and he would suffer and die and so forth. Anyway, so this crowd came because they have this evil intent of arresting Jesus at a time that was really unjust and unfair. the middle of the night, you know, without any accountability. Normally, kasi in Jewish jurisprudence or law, you know, everything should be done in an, you know, in a lawful manner, in an orderly manner. So this was a violation, you know, of Jewish justice. Okay, at least at that time, right? So you know, this crowd came up, and the man who was called Judah. So we are specifically being informed by Luke that here's one person who actually was part of the inner circle of Jesus, his disciples. Okay, Judas, one of the 12. So you can see now, Luke was really highlighting the fact that this person, you know, is really part of this very close circle of Jesus that he trusted in, the 12, was leading them. So in other words, Judas, he agreed to betray Jesus. And then he approached Jesus to kiss him. So normally to kiss during that time, of course, is a sign of affection. But in this case, it was a sign of deception and betrayal. But look at the next verse. It says, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? So there was no answer, but it was a question that was meant to give Judas an opportunity to really think about what he was doing, and probably even to repent, even though, as we all know, he did not repent. Later on, he actually committed suicide. But the Lord Jesus was still treating Judas with so much grace, I believe, you know, that I see the principle here, you know, respond with grace, not sarcasm. When we suffer unjustly as a Christian, we are sometimes tempted, no, to respond, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Parang if a person is treating us unjustly, we would just respond unjustly to them. And of course, it is through our words that we often, you know, fall into temptation or we sin. Because we respond with sarcasm, you know. Now, this passage can easily be interpreted in that sense. Now, you know, Judas, are you going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? As if parang, you know, Jesus was being sarcastic. But of course, we know Jesus was never sarcastic. In this case, I believe that he was saying that or asking Judas that question because he wanted Judas to have an opportunity, you know, to reconsider, you know, what he was doing. And to somehow he was giving Judas an opportunity, you know, I believe, to repent. It's hard for us when we are emotionally affected, especially when somebody says something hurtful sa atin. Maybe sabihin nila, you know, Christian ka pa naman, you know, or I thought you were a Christian or something like that, which hurts us. And so we have a tendency to fight back, you know, to be sarcastic, you know, and probably say, but ikaw, you know, mabait ka ba, you know, something like that. So we are easily tempted when we are emotionally affected, especially by unjust suffering. And here's an example from our Lord, you know, and by the grace of God, we can also do this. We can respond, you know, with grace and instead of sarcasm. Sarcasm means parang ininsulto natin sila. We do not insult people. We do not parang treat them as they deserve. Just as we have received grace sa buhay natin, God has gracefully treated us, you know. In the same way, we are not to be sarcastic or to, you know, to fight back. That leads us to the second guideline, I believe. And the second guideline is to respond with kindness, not violence. And here in the story, we find that the disciples really misunderstood the heart of Jesus. And let's look at verse 40, verses 49 to 51. Okay. In verse 49, it says, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, so they knew that Jesus was going to be arrested, and he told them before that he was going to be arrested. He would suffer. You know, they knew very well what was going to happen. But this time they were caught off guard, probably because they were not really praying as the Lord taught them, Jesus said, pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So somehow when they were not able to do so, they fell asleep. Anyway, they were not ready for this crisis. So they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? So they wanted to fight back. And this is our instinct, no? Whenever we suffer, unjustly as a Christian, when people treat us unjustly, gusto natin lumaban, we want to fight back. And this is what the Lord Jesus wanted us to avoid, you know. And then, sabi, and one of them, like I said, in the Gospel of John, this is Peter, no? Struck the servant of the high priest, okay, cutting off his right ear. So this is indeed a testimony of those who were actually there, no? So one of the servants of the high priest suffered a parang severe blow, no? Cutting off his right ear. Because the disciples were thinking, you know, if they are here to do violence at and we should, you know, pay back, no? But then, sabi nito in the next verse, but Jesus answered, no more of this. Okay, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. This is really amazing, no? Even up to the last point, Jesus was ministering to people. Even his enemies, okay? Which is exactly what Jesus said, love your enemies. So here is an example from Jesus who do not want his followers to respond with violence, you know, against those who might be treating them violently, okay? Now, of course, you know, there is a whole discussion on what about self-defense and so forth. We won't go into that, pero at this point, the basic guideline is this, you know, respond with kindness, you know. And I know na sometimes kapag tayo, when we are tempted during unjust suffering, we just want to lash out and hit back or something like that, okay? Well, the example of Jesus teaches us to respond with kindness and not violence, okay? Again, we're not talking about times wherein we have to protect our family or do something, no, that is legitimate, you know, as far as the Word of God is concerned. But in general, you know, we want to respond with kindness rather than violence, okay? Instead of, you know, using words, for example, to hurt people, which is the first point, you know, we respond with grace, with gracious words, not with sarcasm. And then secondly, we respond with kindness, okay? We want to be kind toward people, even those who do not deserve it. We want to love our enemies, okay? And then last but not the least, we are to respond with hope, not resignation. It's very easy to just, you know, be passive and to give up and so forth. Now, we can misunderstand what Jesus was doing here as if he was resigning, but actually, given the context, he was not resigning. He was simply acknowledging that what was going on was part of his Father's plan, you know. And so let's read that. Let's read verses 52 to 53. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, okay, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs?" I want you to take note of, you know, the kind of scenario here. No, they are coming full force, you know, fully armed, you know. And, you know, siguro, you would ask yourself, why are they doing that? You know, they could easily come and, you know, with maybe one or two people and just arrest Jesus very easily. One commentator said they came with such a full force because they were actually afraid of Jesus. They knew about his power. They knew about what he could do. And perhaps, you know, hidden inside their hearts is the fear that maybe, you know, we're dealing with something here more than we could ever fully understand. Now, we don't know, but the fact is Jesus was asking them that gives us parang an opportunity to think, you know, why would they be so, you know, what do you call this, parang going after Jesus with such a full force. They were really intimidated. They were really parang, you know, they were really afraid of what could happen. And then the Bible says, Jesus said, every day I was with you in the temple courts. It was highlighting this, unique aspect of it. And he said, and you did not lay a hand on me. No, you did not. In other words, he's saying, look, you know, you could easily capture me whenever you like. But then he said, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Again, it's quite, easy for us to misread that and think that maybe Jesus was resigning, you know, this is an hour. But actually, given the context in the gospel itself, we know that Jesus was, living his life according to the plan of his Heavenly Father, which includes him giving his life as a ransom for many. And even though evil was reigning at this point in time, in a sense that Satan wanted to kill Jesus, but Jesus knew what was the plan of the Father, that he would die on the cross for the sins of the world, and on the third day he will rise again. So resurrection would be, you know, the fatal blow against Satan. Even though Satan wanted to defeat Jesus, what he did was really part of God's redemptive plan for the world. We can actually see this in the book of Acts, but we won't go there. Pero, you know, that's basically the preaching of the apostles, you know, where they were saying that you the Jews, you know, did this, but it was God's wisdom that allowed it to happen. He was still in control of the whole situation. And that's what I believe, you know, that we must really remember as our guideline today, that when you are suffering unjustly as a Christian, you respond with hope. You know that God is in control, that he would work out everything for the good, even though for the time being, you may be suffering as a Christian. This is the reason why even the Apostle Peter said, you are blessed when you are suffering as a Christian. Why is that? Because God is still very much in control of the universe. I mean, he has not vacated his throne. He's still Lord of all. And we can trust God. So how do you, you know, here's the question. How should you respond when we suffer unjustly as a Christian? Well, there are three guidelines, like I said. First of all, respond with grace, not sarcasm. Okay. Secondly, respond with kindness, not violence. And then thirdly, respond with hope, not resignation. So in other words, when suffering as a Christian, respond as a Christian. That's the main thing that I want to say to you this morning. And I believe this is the word of the Lord sa atin. Let's not respond like the world does, you know, eye for an eye, if we are being treated unjustly, we would respond violently and we would be sarcastic with our words. We would resign to the fact of what's going on. Instead, you know, as believers in the Lord, we put ourselves, you know, in God's hands. We trust the Lord. And whatever it is the Lord wants us to do, we just obey it, you know? And we surrender the consequences of that or the results of that to the Lord. In other words, we simply live our lives as followers of the Lord, even if sometimes we are treated unjustly and we suffer unjustly. The Lord knows, and he will take care of us. There's no need to fight back, no need to be violent, no need to be sarcastic. You know, let us become God's people, even in the midst of those experiences. So kung naman yung naranasan natin, maybe in our families, maybe some of our family members are persecuting us, or maybe in the office, or saan man lugar, you know, wherever you might experience this, remember, you are a follower of Jesus, and Jesus will help you to respond, graciously and kindly and with hope, even though that may not be natural or expected, you know, intuitively. Pero by trusting in the Lord, he will enable us to respond in that way. So I hope now we can meditate on this. And if you are going through any kind of unjust suffering right now, no, again, we're not talking about suffering in general, but simply suffering as a Christian. So would you remember these three guidelines? Okay, respond with grace, not sarcasm. Respond with kindness, not violence. And then respond with hope, not resignation. So if and when you're suffering as a Christian, remember, respond as a Christian. Thanks be to God. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for helping us and reminding us that we don't have to respond in a worldly way when we suffer as Christians, O Lord. You have taught us through your word and the example of Jesus that we are to respond like him and as a Christian. So Lord, help us, Panginoon. Some of us may be experiencing this right now. May you give each person here in this audience the grace to respond with grace, kindness, and hope, even though it may be difficult. Lord, if there is anyone we know who might be suffering in this way, may you use us, O Lord, to encourage them and to help them in their time of need. So Lord, maraming salamat po for your word. Thank you so much for your word today. We love you and we praise you. And we receive your word for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.